So there was yelling, there were tears, someone even called the cops for crying out loud. Yet just another weekend in the Democratic race for the White House. Let's just say some things got ugly Saturday in Texas. Almost a month after Hillary Clinton won the state primary there and Barack Obama won the caucus, thousands of Texas Democrats battled over how to interpret those March 4th results and which delegates to send to the national convention this summer. The Democrat-on-Democrat clashes continued yesterday when surrogates of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama hit the talk show circuit to address recent calls by top Democrats for Clinton to bail out. Here's Clinton supporter James Carville on CNN's Late Night.
The Obama strategy seems to be to find some bold white guys with white hair to call on to get out of the race. I think they're going to go to McCain and get him to call on to get out of the race.
And as the party infighting plays out in the Democratic camp, presumptive GOP nominee John McCain is charting his Straight Talk Express on a new campaign tour for the general election. Joining us now for some Monday morning political perspective is Jim VandeHei, executive editor of Politico.com. Hi, Jim.
Morning. How are you doing?
We're doing just fine. Thanks. Hey, Jim, what happened in Texas? I mean, it sounded like things actually got kind of rough. Shoving matches, booing and crying at the 280 Democratic district conventions. If Clinton won the primary, Obama won the caucus March 4th, what were they getting so worked up about?
Well, they're getting so worked up about how they actually end up allocating the delegates from the state. They have this weird complex formula in Texas where it's part primary, part caucus, and the caucus part is still going on. They're still trying to decide precisely how many votes Barack Obama will get. You know, now looks like you could have Barack Obama with more delegates out of Texas, but Hillary Clinton actually winning the state, in which to most people, they're probably like, what is going on here? But that's the process that Democrats have put in place. It's very confusing to a lot of voters. It's certainly confusing to people who are spectators in the political sport, and they're trying to figure out, like, who's up and who's down, and how do you actually divine who is the winner these days?
Now, let's talk about some new polls out suggesting John McCain is gaining some ground against both Clinton and Obama, and at least 20% of each Democratic candidate's supporters say they would consider abandoning the Democratic Party altogether in November if their particular candidate isn't the nominee. Now, is this some of the reasoning? Is this why we're seeing some of the party elders calling for Hillary to step down? Patrick Leahy, Chris Dodd, they did it on Friday. Is this the rationale?
I think that's part of it. There's certainly a panic mode among some Democrats who feel like, you know what, this is getting nasty. It's hurting the Democratic Party to the benefit of John McCain. The truth is, I would not put a whole bunch of faith in these polls. They're measuring a couple of things, I think, a little bit inaccurately, in that McCain's numbers are probably going up because no one's paying any attention to him, and all they're hearing about are bad things about Democrats. And those 20% of backers for both Obama and Clinton say they'd vote for McCain, I think a little of that is just sort of primary season frustration. I doubt that number would be that high in a general election. But you have a group of people in Washington who just feel like, you know what, we need to end this and start the general election campaign because we're operating on such favorable ground. If we blow this election, what election will we possibly win? I think that might be a little bit short-sighted of a view because I do feel like while this city tends to hyperventilate, most people don't pay that much attention. And once this whole process works itself out, there'll be a fair balance between Democrat and Republican in the race. And I think Democrats will return to pretty favorable ground in that general election, but running against a pretty strong Republican candidate.
So, Jim, what do you think about the idea that Barack Obama said, yeah, you know, Hillary Clinton should just keep on going on. Let her keep doing her thing. That's what she says she's going to do. That's what her husband says she's going to do. Is that a good strategy on his part?
It's the only strategy he has. He can't personally call for her to get out of the race. And quite frankly, it'd be absurd for her to get out right now. It's close enough, and there's enough fluidity in the process right now that she should stick in, at least through Pennsylvania. I think Barack Obama knows that, and if he were seen as trying to push her out, it would look bad. Quite frankly, I think the Clintons like this. I think they like the fact that everyone's saying, hey, you should get out, so they can play the victim, and they can say, listen, here they go again, you know, sort of the men's club telling the woman to get out of the race. That fires up the women voters. It helped a lot before New Hampshire. A similar strategy helped a lot before Ohio and Texas. So I think they're happy to be playing on the defensive and saying, look at what's happening.
Jim, what the heck is going on? That's what we want to know most importantly.
Noisy kids who are not being cooperative with our radio interview.
Multitasking. Jim, I want to ask you about Barack Obama's strategy in Pennsylvania. There, he's been going to more intimate venues on this particular state tour in an effort to kind of shed some of that rock star Obamanon stuff. Is that working?
Not clear yet. So far, the polling evidence suggests that it isn't it's not necessarily working. He still trails pretty significantly in most polling in the state. The truth is, though, he has to make a play in Pennsylvania. He does not want to get blown out in a state that the demographics are not good for him. It's very much like Ohio, where you have a lot of working class whites in rural areas. They've not been kind to Barack Obama in similar states. In Ohio, you know, I think there's about 13 different counties that border Pennsylvania and West Virginia that are very rural and real and very white. And he got trounced by Hillary Clinton in those districts, in those areas. And they worried that the same pattern could repeat itself in Pennsylvania.
I want to talk about John McCain. He's kicking off what's called this biography tour today, trying to reintroduce him to the American public. He's got a new ad out focusing on his POW experience. Let's listen to that.
Lieutenant Commander in the Navy.
And your official number?
624-787.
John McCain, the American president Americans have been waiting for.
Keep that faith. Keep your courage. Stick together. Stay strong. Do not yield. Stand up. We're Americans and we'll never surrender.
Now, we know John McCain. He's run for president before. How will his campaign try to make him seem like a new and fresh choice?
You know, right now they're just focused on the biography. They're making sure that they play to their strength, which is the fact that he has a very good image with the American public as a war hero and as a maverick. And they just want to amplify that at the time that Democrats are fighting. I think Bill Kristol had a piece in the New York Times this morning that's pretty smart, that he's going to have to move beyond that. The American voters do not typically vote for someone because they have a better background or a better military profile. Think of John Kerry, Al Gore, even Bush's father in 1992. They basically look at, what are you doing for me now and what can you do for me tomorrow? And I think McCain knows that, but right now it's all about play to your strength while your opponents are playing to their weaknesses and then start to build on that. But he's going to have to build pretty quick because he has to broaden his base. He's not fooled by these polls that show him doing very well and his favorability is high. When people tune in and the negative ads start coming, he's got to inoculate himself so he can make a counter argument.
Hey, Jim, I have a favor to ask. There was a lot of news out of Iraq over the week that's changed the debate, that's put Iraq on the front burner again. Can you stick around to answer one more question about that?
Sure, no problem.
We appreciate it.
Can your kids? Are they all right with that?
Would you like to interview them?
You better check in with the knee biters.
Maybe you guys can referee whatever disease they're having.
All right, you got about a minute and 30 seconds to go be referee, but we want to see you on the other side.
Okay, good.
Stay with us after we finish up with Jim, The Art of Recording an Audiobook. A little harder than you thought, maybe. And did you know that people who do that actually have real fans? It's true. This is the BPP from NPR News.
Hey, thank you for listening to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We are on digital, FM, Sirius Satellite Radio, and online at NPR.org. I'm Allison Stewart.
And I'm Rachel Martin. We're finishing up our conversation with Politico.com's Jim Vandehei, wrapping up the politics over the weekend. And Jim, there was a lot of news out of Iraq over the past week, a government crackdown on Shiite militias in Basra and in parts of Baghdad has put Iraq front and center in the campaign. Once again, hundreds of people have died. Now, McCain has made Iraq clearly, obviously, a centerpiece of his campaign, touting the success of the surge in reducing violence. Now, anytime there is a turn of events or something in Iraq that undermines that thesis that he's putting forward, it's got to be a big blow for him. I mean, how does he continue to frame Iraq to his advantage?
Well, he's got to continue talking about what would be the consequences of a swift withdrawal, which Democrats are advocating. And I think, you know, most people would say the consequences could be pretty big. I think the good thing when you do have this much coverage of this new flare-up of violence in Iraq. Obviously, the violence is not a good thing, but the good political part of it is it forces a debate. The fact that Iraq is hardly on the front pages of the biggest newspapers is It is the biggest issue that's confronting the country right now. And undoubtedly, the next president is going to inherit 100,000-plus troops. And there's going to have to be some sort of compromise that eventually gets the troops out of Iraq. And I think once we get to a general election, I think there will be a very serious and sustained debate about what we actually do. I don't think that the Democrats will continue to cling to this idea that everyone can be pulled out within a year, because they know in their heart of hearts that that's probably not workable. They certainly are going to draw down troops quicker than McCain would. But I think there's going to be a much more robust debate about, okay, what do you actually do? What are the consequences? What are the consequences for us, but also for the region? So you are right that in the short term, every time there's violence, there's a new story saying, hey, this could be bad for McCain. I think all of that is ephemeral. And what you have to do is keep your eye on the bigger debate. It's like trying to get these candidates to clarify how they deal with sort of the spillover effect of whatever policy you advocate there.
Jim VandeHei of Politico.com and Parental Referee. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Enjoy the day. Bye.
Let's get to some news headlines.